welcome to another episode of Tour Podcast. Got Roger in the house. Great workout.
Yeah, man. Really good workout. I mean, good, man. I'm sore all over, though. I feel like
my shoulder.
I showed up. I was like, you're like, what do you want to do? I was like, well, everything's sore, so I guess just everything. I could just get the adrenaline going and just move past it.
Yeah, man. It was a good workout.
Yeah, it was a great workout.
There was some burning out at the last minute.
Oh, though, what were they called? Russian what? Twists? Is that what you called them?
Yeah, yeah.
They're a lot of fun. You're like weights? I was like, no weights. And you handed me the weight anyway. So thanks. Thanks for pushing me.
Stop being a bitch.
Thanks for pushing me.
Here's your little 8-pounder.
You know, sometimes yesterday I was doing shoulders and I did cable flies, cable flies, 5 pounds.
Yeah.
5 pounds. Out of my workout was 5 pounds. It was, they can't do any weight on that. They're so difficult to do.
Yeah, man. But I'm always happy to have you here.
Yeah.
Pushing each other,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. Always fun.
So I'm noticing something new.
What's that?
So there's some lights over there in the corner. Is that what is that?
What, the computer?
Is that at your desktop? I never seen that before.
It was usually lower on the ground before.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah.
And then I see a giant, what I'm considering to be a really cool Slurpee mug.
I'll point it to the camera. Give me one. I'll say. So yeah.
Insane. It's wrapped in leather, dude.
A leather wrapped
Slurpee mug.
It's not a Slurpee mug. What do you call it?
Perfect for grinding dungeons, man. Online.
Just a water bottle, if you will. But what do you call it? Like, what do you call
that? That's a Slurpee mug. It's not a jug. It's a 40.
No.
It's a fancy 40.
No.
Yes, it is. Yo, if you rolled up in Philly with that, they'd be like, yo,
so this is, we drink this tea in Paraguay.
What's the holder on the side for?
We drink a tea in Paraguay, I'm telling you. We drink a tea in Paraguay called Tereré.
Uh-huh.
And this holds your Tereré, and it's a social thing where the tea leaves are in the cup with a metal straw. And it's also wrapped in leather. It's downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you serve it. You drink it. You serve it. You pass it on. Mm-hmm. And it's a social thing in Paraguay.
That's awesome.
So when you go to Paraguay, they have, you know, we drink cold in the summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people also drink it hot in the mornings. Like my parents drink it every single morning.
Really?
And if you drink it hot, it's called mate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you drink mate, you just hot water on the tea and you drink it. And
that's cool, man.
And they do it every single morning. So we went to Paraguay like maybe 15 years ago with my wife. And we got this. Mm-hmm. It says Jose and Elena. And
it's down awesome.
Here it says Paraguay.
I love it.
And you can have it customized. Yeah. And then we also have another one that I had that was even nicer. And my brother, you're listening to this,
he stole it. Give it back. Give it back immediately.
So I recently went to Paraguay. My grandmother passed away. And waking up in the morning, my mom would have mate. And so I would drink it with her and all this stuff. And then when I came back, I was like, you know what? It's hot. It's a great way of drinking a lot of water.
Yeah, it is.
So now when I'm working, I just pour ice water.
And that's just cool thing. To drink out of. That's so much better than the regular bunk-ass water bottle. That's like customized.
Yeah, right? And you're drinking
cooled leather.
You're drinking out of, like, you know, this whole thing. And you know, without thinking about it, you're done with everything. It's a great way to get water. It's refreshing because the tea leaves have, like, mint in it and all kinds of stuff. And, yeah.
So the side thing, is it whole D's?
It's too small to hold these.
Good follow-up, man. I set them up, you knock them down.
But yeah, like, I'll
that
show
thing
you
is
downstairs.
Super cool,
it's,
man.
It's like you have the it's a wooden cup wrapped in leather.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and then like on the side here you have a little pouch here for your metal straw to hold to.
That's,
so you can take it with you.
That's super
and
cool.
Everyone you see in Paraguay, you will see carrying around this.
Well, yeah, you stay hydrated. So here's my requirement. anytime I am ever on a call with you at work, I want to see you sip out of that thing, right? That awesome cup.
That's the thing, though. Like
everybody else's anybody cup else, in comparison.
Anybody else who doesn't know what that is would just see me pour water and then like, it's like, what the heck is Jose smoking at work?
Is that a water bong?
Yeah, right. Like
the side thing. Hold your stash.
Yeah, you can hide the weed here.
You see any smoke coming out of it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like it's really cool to do it, especially like I don't know, like in America, I guess it would be like kind of weird that there's that whole stigma of like, you know, sharing something with somebody else, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but like in Paraguay, it's very common to share. And like you get a group of friends or, you know, you're just carrying it with you and whoever's with you, like in the passenger seat mm-hmm. or whatever, you just pass it back and forth. And there's like, you know, things we have, like the youngest is always the one that would serve or, you know, like things like that go with it.
That's interesting because you know what? Like growing up in Philly, right? Everyone's like, oh, don't drink after me, yet we'll pass the shit out of a blunt. That is a rule. That is a hard and fast rule.
Yeah.
That is a shareable thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yet if you pass the water bottle around, I'd be like, yo,
what the
after
heck?
You just smoked after me.
It's like you just asked to share my water bottle, but you touch your lip. You remember that, right? Like when you had the squirty, you know, like either the Gatorade or whatever. Yeah, you know, let me get a hit of that. It's like you would squirt her and like, it touched the corner of your lip. What the hell, man? You owe me $1.
You always have your one boy who would just like,
yeah,
just put his lips on it, and then you would like he'd be doing this on it with your, you know,
dude.
Rub it off.
This is probably disgusting to somebody who's never experienced this. But back in Philly, when it was lunchtime and you bought yourself some fries, if you didn't spit on it,
they were gone. People
would take it. So it was like literally like as soon as you got your fries, you're like, like it is disgusting and like horrible, you know, kind of like thing to think about, like how animalistic people are about it. But like but that was the thing, like people would do that, like
that's why everyone's afraid of school lunches in Philly.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. Like you had money to buy wings, like that was like bang, man. Like that guy who's like, oh my god, his mom gives him mm-hmm. money to buy wings every single day,
we're taking those wings.
It's like, mine, I got the free lunch. It's funny, man. That the Joey Coy, do you know Joe Coy, the comedian, Filipino guy,
bad with names,
anyway, he really funny comedian, but he said like he put his kid into like some, you know, school, like private school and all this stuff. Mm. And he had to fill out paperwork for what kind of food he can eat and not eat and all this different stuff. And he's laughing and he's like, you know, when I was a kid, we fill out paperwork to get free food. And here I am filling out paperwork to pay for your food, like basically in school. Like, it's like a whole thing. And it's true, man. Like, I don't know how you were, but like, yeah, we got the free lunches. Yeah. Like, that burger that stick together with the bun, you know, and it was like disgusting.
So like those lunches were like, that's my only memory. I don't know if I had a difference between free and purchased lunch, but like lunch in Frankfurt High School was awful. None of it was good. The milk, the sealed milk from the refrigerator was the only safe thing.
You guys had fridge?
We did. And we did. We had.
We didn't have fridge with our fridge. Milk. It was like room temperature. Like
curdled. Yeah. It's like cottage cheese. Oh, man. No.
No, the chocolate milk, I think it had like...
Everybody wanted the chocolate milk. The chocolate milk was you could
in
trade
the box
up,
and you would just like open it up.
We used to trade like two chocolate milks for three cigarettes.
Prison. It's literally like prison.
We used to trade cigarettes for chocolate milk.
Yeah. There's trading going on. Did I ever tell you about my side hustle in high school?
With the tokens.
With the tokens, yeah.
Same here, man. Tokens, chocolate milk, and cigarettes. If you had those three things, you were a rich man in high school.
So it was like this. You instead of school buses, the Philadelphia School District used SEPTA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the school would provide tokens for you to get to school and back home.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get drop off at school. So therefore, I had 5 extra tokens at the end of the week every single time. And so I would sell them less than what would than
mm-hmm.
what SEPTA. So people who didn't get the tokens, who didn't qualify for that, they would like basically like buy them off me.
Right. Yeah.
And so I got caught in English class selling tokens, literally looked like a drug deal. Because I passed the tokens, they passed me cash, and the teacher's like, what the F is going on back there? And I was like, I swear, it's just tokens. It's like, you are not allowed to sell those. Those are given to you, blah, blah, blah. So then I got cut down to 5 tokens a week. So I would walk home in order to keep my side hustle going.
We used to gamble the tokens away. We would be at lunch in the corner table like with a deck of cards. Well, we'd have a deck of cards. We'd be playing poker. For a half hour playing poker, right? Someone would be rich in tokens. We would do flip. We would do quarter flip. Closest to the wall takes. Yeah. Best out of 3.
Yep.
And it was just like, those games got out of hand, though, because like when you had no more tokens, you started betting other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll bet you won't do this in history class. Like, oh, man.
Dude, it was nuts. But then when I got to like 10th grade on, I went to like a nice high school, and they had like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could get like there was a salad bar, there was everything salad like bar. Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is nice. It's
a salad bar.
It's like fresh cooked.
We didn't meals. Have green like, things like in high school.
Oh no, I went.
If
to
we a did, nice they were green beans that came out of a can.
I went to a nice high school, so
yeah, I went to Frankfurt High School, which wasn't like, I mean, it was like it looked like a really fancy jail. That's how I would describe it, right? So there was like a metal detector.
Yep.
There was cages on all the windows.
Yep.
Not because people wanted to jump out, because kids would throw books out.
Yep.
And even managed to jam the books out sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But we had like there was like good classes there. Like I was in like one like the health academy, and that gave you access to like better math classes and computer classes. That's why I wanted to be in the they're like the health academy students get to take computer programming. I was like, I'll be in the health academy. Give me the computer classes.
Dude, it was like stepping into a whole nother world when I went to a nice high school, because like you said, there was like metal detectors, like bomb scare every week, like all that stuff in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. I went to like a nice high school, and you know, like it was like, what club do you want to be? You want improv club, ping pong club, like
wanna all be in the acapella theater. Club. Here's oh, a sweater vest for theater? The acapella
you,
club.
You want to build stuff? We got robotics club. We got theater, yeah. Like building, like we'll give you power tools and you can build stuff, like, and we'll teach you. Like, I was like, wow, this is like a whole nother world.
Like, dude, in the wood shop in Frankfurt, along with building a clock, almost every single year, someone build multiple knives and machetes and stuff and shanks and weapons. Every single time it happened.
My son built a clock in wood shop.
Yeah. Clocks are one of the cool things you learn how to build. But there wasn't, I was in the 13 club in, which was for like athletics MS and 13, academic. Like, no, not the gang.
Not the gang.
Wasn't quite as cool as 13. That. Wasn't quite as cool as that.
No.
So I was lucky to like have a good group, but yeah. It was wild, man. Like, and I went from Frankfurt High School right to CCP, and it was no different. Like, I showed up for my first day of classes, and there was people playing hacky sack on the lawn, smoking pot, drinking 40s. I was like, yes. Hey guys, you look like my kind of crowd.
Yeah.
They're like, we got class in like 10 minutes, you want to join? I was like, yeah. You show to class, show up to class. It was a mess.
Damn.
But I went from there. Once
Delaware
I was
County Community College wasn't any different.
Once like, I was able to get it, once I was able to spend 4 to 5 years getting out of community college.
Dude, me and you are the same. Yeah, I got my associate's degree in like 7 years.
When I was 28, I graduated from community college.
Dude, same.
And then I eventually made it. Through a regular 4-year bachelor degree.
Yeah, I stopped there. But yeah, like it was like straight out of the scene, and in Tommy Boy, like the beginning scene with, yeah. when he goes, checks his grade, and he's like, a D?
A D?
A D? A D, I passed.
Yes.
it was literally that. And the day that I graduated, the day I got my last exam, was the day my oldest son was born.
Wow.
So, like, I was, like, married. Like, all right, done. I'm done with this whole college thing.
Yeah.
I'm going. Yeah, it worked out great.
I worked for a while afterwards. The only reason that I did go back to school, I always wanted a four-year degree because I thought I really needed it to get into application development. And I don't regret going to get it. I really think it was money well spent. It was an investment in myself. But I will say this. The only reason, the top reason that I went back was because the opportunity presented itself. Like I was working in the IBEW, the Electricians Union, but I was working for Verizon as a cable pair technician. So like I would investigate the old telephone lines. They quickly were going away, so they were laying people off. So they were like, listen, we'll give you unemployment benefits, full health care and unemployment benefits, if you go back to school and pick a major that's in demand. You get extra benefits, extra fast food, like you'd pretty much be paid for. You'll have to pay some out of your pocket. I was like, okay. And I was like, I definitely want to go for comp sci IT. And they were like, that's no problem. Show us the, I had to mail all my grades once per semester. They didn't care what they were. They just wanted to see I was making progress. And that's the reason I did it.
Nice.
And I had support. The biggest reason was that I could do it because I have my wife's support too. Yeah. She was like, this is a good idea. You go, then I'll go. And that's the 5-year deal we made. Like I went, she went now, you know, she's out.
Awesome.
And grinding. So
No.
That's the reason. Cause my kids, like my younger daughter wants to go into nursing, but even she is like, why don't I just maybe get an associate's degree, start working as an RN right away from Bucks County. Don't have a lot of bills, you know, you don't need to do it. If you want to get an advanced degree, like after you pass like your health exams, like your state boards, that's just after the fact. You can do it online. It's not easy, but you can do it. Everything else, like it's almost like my other daughter just, you know, she doesn't need to, she's in sales. So
yeah,
a lot of people aren't going to school anymore. Dude, the numbers are down. Penn State Abington, where I went, they just got rid of 25% of their staff.
25% people are starting their own business and all this stuff. So the whole workforce in general is
being upturned. There's a shortage of doctors now. I was reading.
What?
Yeah. And you know why? Because no one wants to do that for a long time. It's expensive and it's really, really difficult. And anyone who's like, who's smart is kind of like, oh, no, just start a couple businesses. See where I land. I can make the same amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be passionate about that to go into it. You really have to want to help folks.
There was a financial guy who, I think it's Grant Stephan, if we know who he is.
Yeah.
He compared like basically somebody who went into the trades of like a plumber and started their retirement right away and all the stuff, and somebody who went to become a doctor with all the debt that he incurred and had to pay off and then start retirement later. Like the plumber comes out ahead.
They do. And the opportunity for side work to start business, like you can retire earlier. I have a bunch of guys I know. A good friend who's a plumber, and man, he like started working out on his own, started a small business. His son was like, you know what? I want to take up the business too. Has a big business now. And it's just like, you know, he just like, you know, consults and does hands-on work still, but they make plumbers or they kind of can like, you can kind of charge what you want to like. They don't, and a nice, honest plumber gets repeat business because they're honest. But like when the water's flowing, you got to get it fixed, man.
If it's an emergency, it's an emergency. I'll pay.
You got to pull me. You got to pay.
Yeah. You know, like no problem, right? Like you saved me from this, and well, you're like the one that answered, and you're the one that showed up.
Yeah, your website's down at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
and you're paying me to come in. Like it's extra.
No, 100%.
Yeah, 100%, you know?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I don't mind paying it. I'm saying that a lot of kids are opting, reading for the trades because, for one thing, they pay you to go to school. Yeah. It's the other way. That's the way it should be, right? You should be paid to become a productive member of society. You shouldn't have to go into debt and have that stress. And a lot of younger kids, especially the new generation, are like, I want a work-life balance. They see what the grind, right? They do the grind, but they're like, no, my grind is from 9 to 5, 8 to 5 or whatever, right? I'm not working late.
I don't know. So I have sort of like a beef with, because, you know, you start watching, you know, YouTube shorts and, you know, Instagram reels and all that stuff, right? Like, and you see all these people who are, you know, totally against, you know, like corporate world and, you know, like the whole concept and, you know, it's outdated, this and that and all this stuff. It's like, yes, I recognize that there's places out there that is totally like horrible, right? But like, I am lucky, I guess I would say, that I have worked for really cool companies.
Yeah.
And really good people who take care of their people. And if you find, and they are out there, the places that take care of the people, that really invest in their people and think that a person who is marketable is a person who will produce the most, you know, and not just try to put them down to keep them there and all that kind of mentality.
Produce,
right? Yeah, they will produce for you, and they're valuable as heck. And you're going to keep, like, basically rewarding them. And that's the kind of corporate world that I've been lucky enough to work
for the past
three.
That's a positive
three jobs,
culture.
Right? Three different places.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm totally like for it, right? Like I totally like the corporate world. I like the like basically climbing the ladder, going different, like growing your career in that end, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't agree with the whole like basically. They're like all these people who are like, you know, totally like shunning down on it and giving it a bad light. It's like, yes, there are places like that, but you know, you have to recognize.
The contention comes with the understanding that like, oh, why do like the directors, presidents and board members make so many millions of dollars a year, right? Like how they don't understand that a lot of the time people don't read between the lines. Someone who says, I made $500 million last year with my company. Their company made $500 million, right? They may take in just a small portion of the dividends of being traded publicly. While they have a high, like an upper lifestyle, right? Make no mistake, they put in 16-hour days to get there, right? Like a lot, like
it takes... And it's only like a very, even within, you know, like... You know, the market of people that are like basically willing to do this, there's like this small little percentage of people who are willing to grind even harder to make the sacrifice. And not only that, like basically put everything on their shoulders, like to do so, right?
Have
because
the risk and the stress
they make and the... one bad mistake, you know, and everything is like basically on them.
Yep.
You know, I've had like, I know a CTO who made, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 a year and came in, did great things for the company, amazing changes left and right, and then did one mistake and, you know, got the boot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, but he was working, you know, tons of hours. And it's like, yeah, you know, those kind of people, they deserve it, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, and, you know, if you don't agree with that, you don't agree with that. But like, you know, there's definitely, you know, merit to that type of job.
There 100% is. And the nice part I think about it's the security. But good places that invest in their culture means that they invest in their employees and their employees' skills and welfare and happiness. So we see a lot of that at our place, right? Like,
yep.
We see a lot of like, you know, I always see like, hey, you know, what are you doing on late or what's going on? Like there's always like we always try and figure out better ways to work.
Yeah.
And that's just a factor of culture, right?
Yep.
We invest a lot in our culture at work.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
But like, there's going to be times like the thing I disagree with sometimes that I see people complaining about having to work 10 or 12 hours. Like when things happen and you're a professional and you're the best person to fix it, it's kind of an honor to step in and have to do the little
Thursday
bit extra.
Thursday night, I was on the couch, like basically playing chat, and I started seeing the chat going off, like, hey, you know, something is down. you know, and all that stuff. And I just literally like, all right, let's start a meeting. Let's go on there. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, and within like an hour of like troubleshooting, we got it back up and everything like that. It took me an hour of my time, but like, really, it's like, there's probably an hour of my time that I was, not doing work when I was supposed to be doing it, like in my weekly. Like, if you really like be honest with yourself, like we have flexibility here and there, to we have to get all our stuff done,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people hold us accountable of that, and you have to hold yourself accountable of that. And as long as you do that and put in your time and basically, and sometimes even more, because it's fun, because I like what I do,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And if you pull your actuals, if you track and pull your actuals, I do, like, it evens out. Like, it's balanced, right? Like, yeah. I know I can just buy off the top of my head. I know that there are certain parts of the year near the end of the quarters where we are going to work more. It's going to be busier. Things are going to get crazier.
Yeah.
Things are going to be, there's more work to do, but in the beginnings of things, like, it's like, okay, there's a lot of investigation, discussion, research, and those are the times when, like, I'm taking an hour. Like the other day in the office, I sat down for an hour with everyone and we just talked and hung out like over lunch,
Okay. Yeah.
It was just lunch.
And another hour in the morning when I kept telling you to go back to your desk.
Yes. Well, okay. So I come in early to chop it up. I show up early to chop it up.
Dude, an hour into work, like, Roger's still there with his backpack, just like talking to people. And I'm like, dude, go to your desk, get stuff done. I'm just messing with him. Like, come on, man.
That's how I'm building relationships.
Yeah. Networking. But yeah, man, like, corporate world can be fun too. There's definitely like fun stuff, and it's not just like pizza party, like people say, like on stuff. There is obviously that type of world too out there, where it's like, oh, you worked, 90 hours, we got to our goals, and you didn't get recognized, but so-and-so did.
The KPMGs are done.
And it's like, and here's a pizza party for you guys. There is those places. And mm-hmm. I don't, disagree and agree with people who have frustrations over that type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also good places out there. And if you find good places, it's really, really like basically good on you to like basically invest your time to give them more value. So then it's like you feed off each other,
mm-hmm.
back and forth.
Yeah. I like the continual investment in learning. That's an important thing.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, like, the other day I got approached and I was like, and my manager was just like, hey, there's this conference, and all this stuff happening in September. Look into it, getting there.
Yeah, I'm going to one too. Yeah. Which one are you going to?
The Power Platform.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. Where's that at? Isn't that Vegas. Out west? Vegas, yeah. Yeah. Out west, yeah.
Power but Platform's like cool. It, I went last year. Now they're like, hey, we're going to really invest into this. We want you to be basically knowing what's the trending thing into it. It's like,
thank you for sending me to Vegas. Yeah. Like, for it to learn. But,
like really, it's like, I mean, yeah, there is those fun dinners at the end and all that.
No, but
stuff,
the conferences are awesome.
Conferences is like all day. Like if you think about it, you're tired. You're dead, yeah. Right? Like you're dead at the end. It's like you're literally working 14 hours basically,
mm-hmm.
because it's like there's like the 8 hours of the conference. There's all these different things that you're attending, classes, everything like that, workshops. And then you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Then you're like networking with people, and then you're talking about it because you're all just gathering all these information. And then you're like, hey, you work in this space. How do you guys use this? Blah 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 blah. And then you start forming little like networking pods, and all day long you're talking about this subject. It's such a burnout, and mm-hmm. it's like people who don't go or don't come from that world. Like, I know, like, definitely there's that of like people who might have saw my Instagram and it was like, oh, he's in Vegas. Oh, he went to this place and that place for dinner. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, the company's paying for dinner, but at the same time, it's like they don't see all the freaking hours that I put in, like, for that. And not only that, then I have to come back to work. Then I have to, like, basically write out everything, teach mm-hmm. other people, you know, and all this stuff. And with pleasure, it's like, oh, my God. Like, I got so hyped over the things that I learned that I was like, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please do it, too. So when, and then the other part of the conferences that's really cool that you don't actually account for until you're like, man, I'm really tired, is after, like, networking and workshops happen, if you encounter a problem that everybody has, mm-hmm. at some point, everyone's like, yo, I wonder if we could plug this in and fix it.
Yeah.
And then it's like a multi-hour thing because you have some of the most intelligent and expert people in the room that are trying to solve that one problem. So, like, the benefits is you learn so much by watching, just by watching someone else troubleshoot something. You're like, I didn't know I could do that with something simple like browser tools. You'd be like, you can do that in the browser? Yeah. Like, when was that released? You know?
Yeah.
But, like, that's the cool part about it. Like, I remember going to, when we used to run .NET Nuke, I used to go to the conferences all the time. And that was kind of a suit. Like, that was basically .NET forms, right? And that's how the CMS is built. Then they jammed MVC in it. And then we're like, hey, let's jam Angular in it too, and let it run the front end. No mas, man. Didn't was real hard to make it work. And that was hard. That was a hard problem to figure out. But, like, everyone was in a room figuring that out, and it was just I was kind of just a background fan sitting there watching them troubleshoot on the screen. On top, and I learned so much about how to pull apart an application, build it back up, and figure out, you know, what was wrong with it, especially when you have a really tough problem.
Yeah.
You know, because you, at this point in your career, like, there's certain things you can, like, go to App Insights, be like, it's that, can you over here fix this? But then there's other things where you're like, oh, what, why, wait, well, what if this? And then you go down the rabbit hole.
My favorite are the ones that are like, I know how to fix it, but how the hell did it get there?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
The and then you start analysis, like, oh, right? Jesus. Like, that to me is, like, you know, killer. But, like, yeah, there's easy ones that are, like, you know, like, the other day, I got it, like, oh, this is having, like, a course issue, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah, it's this one button. I know where it is. And it's like, oh, you know, Jose, you're so great, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's literally, like, I just knew where the button is. It's like,
I know where that button is.
Yeah, that's all. Like, that doesn't cause for, you
know. But that's expertise, right? There's someone who doesn't know where that button is, right?
Yeah. Because
that's not in their realm of expertise. So, like, you do it. They're, like, so thankful. Like, yeah, thank God you knew where that damn button was, because I would have been searching for it for at least an hour.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like, once you start breaking everything down, it's like, it makes it so much easier, right?
Yeah. Like, I often talk about, like, the discipline of things, and the discipline of application development is learning how to troubleshoot and learning how to troubleshoot specific things.
That's really the key there, like, problem solving, right?
Yeah.
If you are a good problem solver, like, you're good for this career, mm-hmm. right? So I've known people who were, like, used to be mechanics, used to be, you know, woodworkers, and like me, I was a landscaper, having associates in business, you know, completely out of the left field, and then came into application development and became good at it. And I think the real reason is, like, people who are good at problem solving, they become really good at this, right? Mm-hmm. Where I know people who went into actual computer science, and they might know computer science and all this stuff, but are not good at problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, struggle so much with this.
Yeah. There's, like, the theoretical side, like,
yeah. People who are, like, you know, the book smart people, or, like, mm-hmm. the people who can get through anything, you know, that they're just, like, you know, very, like, slow turning kind of,
they take their time to consider, think through the problem. And
no, it's not even that. I think that's just different personality. But it's more of, like, you know, like, you can figure it out, but you have to, like, kind of, like, it's almost like everything has to fit in a puzzle piece, like, correctly for you to figure out where you don't see the abstract, you know, like, thing. I don't know how else to explain it, but, like, basically, if you're good at problem solving, you kind of can make assumptions that this puzzle piece will fit here, even though I don't have everything around it yet, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is sort of like that, right? Like, you're looking at a at a picture and you're looking at all your puzzles and you know, like, because this puzzle piece is blue and then the picture it shows here, it's going to be somewhere here, right? Mm-hmm. And you might not be perfect every single time, but, like, you know, yeah, it gets, you know, you there.
It's blue and it has three sides. It blue, it's, and then, it's, yeah, in, like, this general area, right? Like, let me put it in place and see what happens.
There's that kind of like thinking like that helps you, you know, in the problem solving. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people, they just have to see, you know, they have to kind of like basically like almost follow a regimen or follow an instructional, mm-hmm, in order to solve the problem, yeah, right? Like, I think there's a difference.
There's a difference, for sure.
Who can be good at not, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, either way, I think that's why I love this field, right? Because it doesn't require, you know, all these schooling or anything like that for you to be successful, for you to, mm-hmm, be lucrative in it, you know, mm-hmm, everything.
Yeah. You can get a relatively cheap computer and some free accounts. And you can watch and touch and learn to your heart's consent. Even any computer, right? You just get any computer at all.
I have a friend. I talked about this before, but like a friend who opened up a schooling in Ethiopia, and basically the schooling like teaches people and then basically gets them to the point of like outsourcing work out there, mm-hmm, and getting the economy running, you know, in Africa. Mm-hmm. As a point of outsource, and is doing amazing, right? And it's because it is so cheap and easy to sort of, you know, become an evangelist of this kind of thing, and, mm-hmm, and set up something so people can become successful at it. You know,
yeah.
There's all these people who go through boot camps and become successful at it. Yeah. And there's other people who talk about
the tooling required, right? Like, what's the cost of membership, right? Yeah. There's one tool that we use, right? And those tools, they get better. You know, you can get a really great tool or you can get a somewhat okay tool, but there's a low barrier, a low purchasing price to get. You have first, it's not even about buying the computer, really. You can get a cheap computer for a few hundred dollars, but you have to be willing. That's the one thing you do. The one thing you have to be willing is sit for long periods of time, focus. You have to learn how to focus for long periods of time on a single problem, right? Because in the beginning, I remember trying to figure out how to put a web page together. I was like, this is strange. Like, things were broken. It gave me no feedback initially, mm-hmm, right? Because it wasn't, I learned the front end first, then moved to the back. The back end gives you feedback, gives you numbers you can act on, right? But variables. But the front end, you were kind of like, how do I figure this problem out? And it was sitting there for a long period of time, focusing on it, and then learning to be comfortable with leaving it broken because I couldn't fix it that day. You know, I have it to try again or ask somebody, you know, mm-hmm, you know, or wait for a reply on an online forum, things like that. The great thing is the community is vibrant, right? Yeah. You can ask someone a question and they're like,
yeah,
they get back to you right away.
Thank God for ChatGPT.
Yo, it is.
It's really because one, I seriously despise online forums as much as they help me. I despised asking a question or answering a question in forums. It was literally like a, you know, so there was one time that literally ruined it for me. It's like somebody had a question. I answered the question and I used a method that was like unorthodox, like, or not even unorthodox. It's like, if you really know the framework and all this stuff, you would not use this method to get an ID, you know, of somewhere because it is not very good, like as far as like performance wise, right? So it was known within the community that you don't use that method, right? But in order to not use that method, you would need to like write out a couple more lines of code, in order to do. So anyway, somebody asked a question, and instead of me writing out the whole lines of code to get that particular ID that I wanted, I just used the method as a shorthand. Mm. And then I answered the question. Then the answer of the question was below it, right? Mm-hmm. So that had nothing to do with the question. Mm-hmm. And then I got murder in the comments. Like, how dare you use that? You don't know anything if you're using that, blah blah. And I'm just like, it's
thumbs
it's
down. Your beyond, post has been removed and
archived. Yeah, like somebody else's answer got you know like marked. Even though I was first, and even though mine was correct, like yeah. Basically the other person is like got and it's like oh no, you know, like you never. And I'm like, really? Like it's really like that? Mm-hmm. Like I've gotten like basically like. Reprimand because like I didn't use the right spacing, you know, like and or you know how much spacing is there, you know, and all that stuff, and it's like, oh, your code is ugly, you know, like, and I'm like, come on, I'm just answering the question, and I'm doing it like really fast to be nice guy, and it's like, so I was like, I swore I'm never gonna use Stack Overflow again, you know, I'm like, that's it, I'm done, you know, like I'm gonna try my best to look at the documentation from now on, and never use Stack Overflow, you know, and all that stuff. And then now
I always used it when I got stuck on documentation.
Yeah.
But the thing with like the thing I feel like some of the moderators fail to understand at times is that because you're a moderator, you're most likely an expert because moderators just don't just let anyone moderate, right? You have to understand that everyone that's posting is not an expert. That's why they're asking a question. So when you answer it, you almost have to have that unending patience to explain and teach. Yeah. Right? That's what the post is for, right? It's
yeah. There's
but that. they like if the but code it, is it, elegant.
It's more of like, you know, like people just try and flex like, oh, look how much I know, right? Like and it became like really like muddy waters in that sense. Because I was like, yeah, I don't want to be part of this community anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like the first 3 weeks of my first job. I was like, yeah, I can't copy and paste code. Can't copy and paste code at all. I can refer to it. I can use it, but it needs to be changed heavily. There's no like just turnkey, put puzzle pieces together that I find elsewhere together. You have to have the creativity to write and think through the problem, make it better.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just like put it together and wash your hands. Cause then you run into performance and you have to refactor it anyway. Right. You can't just.
There's that.
I mean, there's depending on what it's for. Right? Sometimes everyone comes to the agreement where like quick and dirty, we're under the gun. Quick and dirty's fine.
Yeah. We call it the right technique, right?
Yeah.
Like if you knowingly put something in there knowing that it's
promise
it's
to fix change. It later.
Yeah. It, except you guys never fix it.
I do.
No.
We
no,
do. Yes, we do. No, you yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Your team is the worst at that.
No, we're not.
You're sucking this.
Yeah, we don't. We're always bothering you guys. Shame. The shame bell. We have a lot of stuff captured, actually. You know, we have to work on, actually, you know, to come to think of it.
Yeah.
I like that we have time to do that, though.
Yeah. I'm going to shame you until you do it.
More work for you guys, though.
I don't care.
You're going
to get it nice. But yeah.
We've been leaning on you guys heavily. You guys would do such a great job.
Yeah. I'm so happy I'm not your support not anymore.
Not this time.
I see what's going on, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm far away from that.
We were talking about on Friday. We're like, man, we have such a great DevOps team. Like, we always take – I always take time to, like, remember, you know, but, like, you know, because they're just – you guys just – we just toss it over the fence sometimes. We're like, hey, here's an explanation.
Yeah.
We need it now.
That's the worst. The throwing over the fence. It's a term. Like, basically, it's like, my job is done. Now you go do it, what you need to do.
We give a story and an explanation.
It's like, come on. Like, there's no thought behind this, you know? Like, and so, yeah, we deal with that a lot, but.
Yeah, there's so it depends on what it is. Like, usually it's a lack of communication. It's like, we think, like, if the team thinks that you guys already know, we'll just be like, it's like a one-off, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you never know, right? Like, there's a new person that you have to explain it. But anyway, not to get too much into that. But at the end of the day, find yourself a good corporate job.
Yeah, you know, we did.
There are out there.
We have a great, nice medium-sized company that's fantastic to work for.
Yep. And yeah, so I think that's it, right?
Yeah, man, we cover many, many topics. This is good. Maybe next time Pierre will be here to add some color commentary.
Hopefully.
He's going to be fixing his kitchen for the next 10 years, so.
Would you be willing to try some
these?
No.
So we're gonna get day-day. Yeah, we can take day-day to the head.
I have some downstairs. I'll clean the metal straw so my lips didn't touch. And then maybe you can try and tell me what you think about it.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, man.
Let's go.
Let's wrap it up.
Later.
Have a good one. Bye.